You've got a lean look to you.
I do. The gut is starting to sprawl.
Is it?
Yeah, I really wish I had heroin chic that I had in my 20s.
Right. You really are a heroin chic kind of guy. You'd make a good street urchin.
Yeah, you know, I could eat anything, I could do anything. Not do anything, I mean, like to my body. I mean, I didn't have the confidence or the nerve to do anything. I didn't. I stayed at home watching movies. But I could have done anything.
Too much of a coward to take heroin, that's what you're saying.
Exactly. I did what I was told. I was told not to take heroin, but I was told to read the book The Beach before going to watch the film The Beach.
Yeah. Who told you that?
Nothing. We had that. That was the long chat we had. We had a big chat.
Yeah, no, I remember that. I'm just saying, the magazines. One told you that, right? Oh, the magazines.
The film magazines. Yeah. You know, I'm the
Society
boy.
Society told you.
The boy made of film posters.
Yeah, the man told you.
Let's not get into the man again.
No, I think
the cinematic man. Sure.
Well, The man is just across all genres.
Joe, we can't get bogged down in the man again. I don't think you know who the man is.
I think I know who the man is.
The man is the person in authority, like typically, who is like your boss or a person in power, like a policeman or a judge. Mm. And it's kind of, I guess, the man is what society really. It's just that kind of hippie
speak.
Well,
that's what I think. Yeah.
Culturally, maybe there is a the man, but then that's just the media.
No. Come on now. This is where we disagree. This is good because this is a fundamental difference of perspective that you and I have. I think of the man, the cultural man, and the societal man as the same man. And I feel as though wherever you reach, whatever echelon of society you reach, that person always looks up and sees a man, right? The man, not a man, the man.
Right, no, but because I was trying to get away from that, I was talking about culture because we talk about films.
Right.
Like the idea of like the films you're supposed to see to be accepted in polite society. It's, I guess, you know, is it, it's what we talk about when we talk about canon. And if you want to be accepted into certain circles, cinematic circles, if you say, oh, I don't like Stanley Kubrick and I think 2001's boring, like The Man, the man is film snobs, and they'd say, well, you don't know what you're talking about. You're not in the club. You can't mingle with us. Go and join the hoi polloi and watch Barbie.
Watch The Italian Job from 2003.
Right. So I think that used to be the case. I don't know whether that... Now I guess that's the cat shitting in the cat litter.
It's a great analogy for what you were saying as well as being something that's happening in real life. You see, I think that the film snobs are the guardians of the man. I don't think they decide. I think they guard what has been decided by the man. And in this instance, the man... Is that really cat's really going for it? Yeah, the man is a kind of a ethereal concept which is sort of decided upon by a diffuse group of people who don't realize that they're deciding on it. The man doesn't exist, you know. The notion is created by accident and then guarded by the film snobs.
Right, but then when it comes to entertainment, you can't foist stuff. You can't just say watch this and enjoy it because clearly that doesn't work. People, it has to connect with them. It has to be good, or not good. It has to be.
What about Citizen Kane? Because I mean, I've never met anyone that's connected with, but everyone
that wasn't even no. But that's so what we yeah. But that goes back to film snobs. But like in terms of entertainment, like a film, like a big film, like you can't tell people to go and.
What is that cat doing?
It's burying its shit.
Right.
Like the man does when it releases the latest Marvel movie.
Right, it buries its own shit.
The Marvel cat plops out the shit into the litter tray of humanity, and like it kind of scurries around for reviews, aka cat litter, to sure, kind of cover the stink of its own shit, and then people from far and wide come along and with their scoop, and they scoop up the Marvel cat shit, and they go, tasty.
Sure. Well, I think Dennis may have dug a hole to China, so I don't know if anyone's going to be able to get that shit back. But you know, best of luck to him.
Hello, and welcome to the Movies You Forgot podcast with me, your host, Adam Richmond. And joining me as ever, it's the old leaky bucket boy, Joe Devine.
Hello there.
This is the show in which we talk about the movies we forgot we'd even seen in the first place. On today's episode, we are talking about the 2003 The Italian Job. 20 years old to this day. Yeah, no, not really. That's just no. Directed by F. Gary Gray, and it's 110 mins, and it stars Mark Wahlberg and Charlize Theron and Ed Norton and Jason Statham and Yasmin Bey, aka Mos Def. It's a remake of the 1969 English classic film starring Michael Caine. Here's the Letterboxd.
Yes, please.
Get in, get out, get even.
Oh, mate, that's good. Because they could be talking about the car, but yeah, go on.
Charlie Croker pulled off the crime of a lifetime. The one thing that he didn't plan on was being double-crossed. Along with a drop-dead gorgeous safe...
Who plans on that? Who would plan on being double-crossed? You know, like as though someone else would?
This next line is unacceptable in this day and age. Along with a drop-dead gorgeous safecracker, Croker and his team take off to re-steal the loot and end up in a pulse-pounding, pedal-to-the-metal chase that careens up, down, above, and below the streets of Los Angeles.
I guess that's true. Yeah.
That's the entirety. That is the entirety of the third act. It is not pulse pounding.
No.
I got you on this, did I?
Yes, you did get me on this.
Because you tried to get me on this and I said no.
Did I?
Yeah, this is, I put it down on my list because I was listening back to us, and then I thought, well, you know what? This is so forgettable. We will run out of films. So I figured that let's do it. And again, I don't want to sound like a broken record, but this was appalling. I thought I was annoyed when we had to rewatch Jumper, and I thought, and on reflection, watching Jumper, at least it was sort of so shit and egregiously shit that I could kind of hate watch it. This was beyond bland. It's one of the worst film experiences I've had in the last, couple of years.
Wow.
It made me think the whole notion of film criticism is absolutely pointless, because if you don't like a film, it just means you've watched it at the wrong time. This film comes out 2 years after Ocean's 11. It's an Ocean's 11 knockoff. It's seen Ocean's 11 dollarinos and it's gone, okay, let's have some of that.
Yeah, Papa wants some of that green.
The best thing about a heist film, one of the best films, for example, is that you watch the guy pull together the team. He has to get everyone around, right?
And that's George Clooney in Ocean's 11, isn't it? So he's got that effortless charm and you always believe that he's got something tucked up his sleeve, a little surprise for you.
Yeah, or it's Michael Caine in the original.
Sure.
And in this, the team are fully established and they're all just mates.
Yeah.
There's no conflict, there's no drama. And what they do is they sort of realise that they also need to be funny. So then they just have Seth Green in there making really shit jokes.
Sure.
You WhatsApp me and you said, oh, I'm quite enjoying this.
Yes.
How is that possible?
Well, I thought it was fine. I mean, I agree with you that it's very bland, very bland. And for what it could be, because it does have that, well, because it's a heist movie, it has that Ocean's 11, it doesn't have the vibe, but it has the kind of hollow outer shell of that vibe. And I did spend time thinking, well, if there were perhaps different actors in these roles, maybe the characters were a little bit more defined. You could have a bit of fun with it, and you'd be able to reach an audience in that way. This doesn't have that at all. But what it does have is that it's just sort of completely fine. I mean, it's essentially fairly solid. It moves along. A film is happening in front of you. The some of the acting on display is fine enough that like it's watchable. I didn't have the same experience as you. I didn't feel like I was desperate to turn it off.
I'm going
to
posit a quite ungenerous thing now, Joe, and I want
that doesn't sound
I
like
want
you.
I want you to steel yourself for this.
Okay.
No,
I'm clenching together.
I think there's the only possible way that you think that this is in any way acceptable to have on, even in the background, is that you haven't actually seen the good versions of this film. You haven't seen. Right. You haven't done the homework. You haven't seen. Wait a minute.
Tell me about the best heist films. Which ones should I have seen?
It's not just a heist film. It's got a soupçon of con in there as well.
It's a con movie.
But I mean, I'm talking like The Sting.
No.
Ronin. No. I'm going to say the list.
I'm saying whether I've seen them or not.
Okay, I thought you were
just going to
say
no. Ronin. No.
The Hot Rock.
Haven't seen it.
Heat.
Heat, I've seen. It's kind of bored. I was a bit bored by that. You know?
The thing is, right, I don't want you to say whether you've seen it. Like, you saying you were bored by Heat. Again, you're just going to put a target on your back. You're making me...
A target for you?
Yeah. Like, that's just... Just say yes or no. In fact,
say anything. Wait, would you say yes or no?
Just say yes if you've seen it. Because okay. I'm assuming you haven't seen enough films.
Okay, leave me a little pause between each one.
Heist. Dead Presidents. Reservoir Dogs.
Yes.
Oh, you have seen Reservoir Dogs.
I've seen Reservoir Dogs. I don't care about it, but I've seen it.
Sorry. I mean, there are even like shit. Like, you haven't even seen the right shit ones, like, say, Reindeer Games.
Don't think I've seen that, no.
The Score also has Ed Norton in.
I've seen 21. That's kind of like a heist movie in a way.
Yeah, you could have that.
It's bad.
Hell or High Water is kind of it's a bank job film.
Hey, I love Hell or High Water. That's a great movie.
You're not completely thick.
That's not like this, though.
No, it's not. I'm not saying it, but tonally, the genre of the heist movie or the heist movie with a touch of con is you can apply any tone you like to it. That's the beauty of it.
Right, right, right.
I would say the fact that Ocean's 11 has already done this, why are they doing a reheated shit version? I mean, I know why. They're doing it for money, which is depressing.
Also with worse actors, right? The names in this film are bad. I know that Charlie Croker, you said it came from the original. It's a bad name. John Bridger, Stella Bridger, Handsome Rob, Lyle, and Left Ear, you know? They're not good names.
Charlie Croker works so well for Michael Caine.
Sure, Charlie Croker for Michael Caine, but not Charlie Croker for Mark Wahlberg.
No, it's rubbish. Have you seen the original? Have you seen the original Italian Job?
You told me not to say anything if I hadn't seen it. I only would have said yes if I had.
Buongiorno. Nice sweater.
What I love about heist movies is all, you know, there are set roles in a film, okay? You've got the leader. You've got the demolition expert. You've got the hacker. You've got the driver. You've got the old timer.
You've got the drop dead gorgeous one.
You've got the safe cracker. Now I know you know that because this was your idea. You said to me, "Let's cast our own heist flick." As soon as you said that to me, I immediately thought, I need parameters.
Sure.
Because for me, it's not just enough to just list your favourite actors of the moment. This film has to be greenlit. Okay, it's got to be something that could be made. So what's the time period? You know, what's the tone and the vibe of it? Where is it set?
Yes.
These were the things that I was thinking about. Were you not thinking about any of those things?
Not really, no. I was thinking about actors and a director and a tone. I wasn't really thinking about any of those other things.
So maybe this is because this has been on my mind. I really resented the attempts at humour in this one. And I'm so over sort of snark, meta, yeah. Like something happens and like a car will blow up and then someone will go, "Hey, did that car just blow up?" Ooh. You know, this kind of constant like Ryan Reynolds-fication of cinema, Marvel-ese of just quip.
Right.
Like people are so, they can't bear, people who make these films think the audience is there going, "Hey, don't these characters know they're in a movie? They should know they're in a movie. I want to watch characters who know they're in a movie."
Sure. I know what you're saying. Yeah.
Fuck off. Fuck off. So I want, what's grown on me about The Killer was it was just the very cold embrace of the genre. And that's what I want. I want a cold embrace of the heist genre.
Uh-huh.
I want Fincher.
Right, okay.
I don't necessarily want David Fincher to direct.
Sure.
But I want someone like Fincher.
This is deadly serious stuff.
It's not deadly serious. There's going to be some black humour.
Sure,
There's some black humour. I'm going to write it into the script.
Right, right. Oh, you're the writer in your fantasy.
Oh, of course I am. And of course, Christopher Nolan has already deconstructed the heist film, yes, in Inception. He's already taken it down to the barest of bones and inverted it and flipped it and played with it.
Yeah.
So we don't need to get into that.
He even made like a really good one just at the beginning of The Dark Knight, didn't he? Just in that intro. Is Nolan your director?
No. Like Nolan, Fincher.
Right.
I would have taken Ryan Johnson, but only after he'd just done Looper. I wouldn't take him since.
Sure.
Since then, was he called Taylor Sheridan?
Taylor Sheridan, yeah.
I take that kind of muscular, no nonsense.
Oh, don't mind it. Never too sure how much he loves America with Taylor Sheridan. That's what I like about him. It's like a post-truth director. Like, is he making a very liberal statement, or is Clint Eastwood going to show up in a second? You know what I'm saying?
I like how he wrong-foots you. So
maybe you should have Clint Eastwood. He's your favourite director, and the movie would be ahead of schedule and under budget.
I would take Clint Eastwood of the 70s to direct this. In fact, I would like mine to be set in the 60s or the 70s, because what I don't want...
Tech.
Don't want tech.
Tech's the death of fucking heist movie, isn't it?
Mate, you know.
If you can hack into the traffic light system in a city like LA and then fix them roads, yeah, you have too much power as a heister. It makes a mockery of the heist, you know?
In the original Italian Job, I think they managed to, you know, cut the cameras.
Yeah. But they do it with scissors or something, right? Like have real physical handness.
I want to see a man with a little Swiss Army knife and the little Swiss Army knife scissors, and I want to see him snip some wires.
Yeah.
And that's it. I don't want to see
not anything. Just normal scissors, Swiss Army scissors, like specialist scissors.
No, not even specialist ones, tiny ones, because he's...
That's what I'm saying, though, as in like they're specialist for his job, right? He carries them around. He's not like just a normal guy with a normal pair of kitchen scissors. He's a guy that has a Swiss Army knife. And then you get starting to think in yourself. You think, if he's using those tiny scissors for these wires, then what's he using all the other tools on the Swiss Army tool knife for? I bet other jobs that he's doing. And then you start to think, what about that little screwdriver one? What about that one that's like a Phillips head? What's he using that for? Which heist is he on there? What about the knife or the different... When does the serrated edge knife get used? Is that when there's bread on the heist? Or what other types of heists are there? That's the kind of magic, the power of the Swiss Army knife that has in a cinematic landscape.
Yeah, and he's called Swiss.
Yeah. And yeah. His friends call him Cheese.
No, he's called Swiss. Sure, you call him Cheese in yours, but... Because, yeah, I mean, yeah, cheese, yeah. You got cheese in France, you got cheese all over.
Oh, we're talking about your film now?
Yeah.
My bad. Okay, I thought we were riffing on the thing.
That's my tone, that's my vibe.
Yeah.
But I want this film to open, okay? I need someone to open this film.
Oh.
I'm going for Charlize Theron.
Oh, you've done a double switcheroony on me.
She is so... underrated. She's funny. She's fucking hard as fuck. If you see her in Atomic Blonde, she kicks the living shit out of this guy. She's amazing in that. She can be vulnerable. She's absolutely wasted in this film. I think it's probably, maybe it's because it's early doors, but it also allows me to kind of play and like decide necessarily what the tone is. Maybe we'll go a bit funnier.
Sure.
I don't know.
She can do it, man. You know, you've seen Young Adult?
Have I? And she's really good in that Seth Rogen film.
Yep, that one too.
So that's what I've got. That's what I've got. I want Theron can do that. And now it's all about the number two. It's the partner. It's the Brad Pitt role from Oceans.
Right. Who are you going for?
Typically, the second is more of an up-and-comer actor. Mm. So what I want is Daniel Kaluuya.
Daniel Kaluuya from the films I know.
Yeah, from Get. He's in, you know, obviously most notably from Get Out.
Fuck yeah,
Get Out.
Yes, Get Out. Get Out.
And he's fantastic in a sort of heist film. Widows. He's such a good baddie in that.
Sure.
No, I say baddie. A bad dude.
He's great, man. I think that's a good choice.
And so moving further down, what you really need is the person who is going to blow everyone away with the surprise performance.
Ah, Michael Caine.
And he would be up for Old Timer, but that's not Michael Caine. And I think this guy, everyone's talking about this guy already, but I think I'm going to go for Steven Yeun because he's so good in that Netflix show. And I'd have him as be the demolitions expert. Now, sexy, I mean, Daniel Kaluuya is obviously a very handsome man, but he's not going to be the sexy guy, the handsome Rob of the film. That role is going to go to Christopher Abbott, and he'll be the safecracker.
Christopher Abbott?
He was in Girls as the sexy guy. He was in the Catch-22 TV series.
Oh.
He was in a film called Possessor. He was amazing in that.
I have never seen this guy. And never seen anything he's ever been in.
Well, you're missing out because he's my favourite at the minute.
Really? He's hot shit, huh?
I think so. He's in a film with Aubrey Plaza called Black Bear, which I really liked. He's in this film, great indie, this really solid little indie flick called On the Count of Three. These two fuck-up mates agree they should kill each other. But obviously before they do that, they need to tie up some loose ends. He's great in that.
Oh, he was in Martha, Marcy, May, Marlene.
He was.
That is the one thing that I've seen that he is in.
Finishing me off as the old timer would be Gene Hackman.
Gene Hackman?
Yeah, Gene Hackman is just, he's superb. He's never not amazing. He's fantastic.
Sure.
So professional.
Is he professional?
He is. But you wouldn't know in this film, in the same way with Sutherland, he could go dark and turn out to be the baddie, or he could just be, he could be wholesome and supportive like an enemy of the state. He's good, man. He's really good. He doesn't act anymore. You know, he's done with it. He's done with all that
Hollywood
shit.
Yeah, he's done with all that bullshit.
Tell me about your film, your heist film.
Well, my heist film is decidedly more European than yours. And my film is directed by Luca Guadagnino, who is the director of Bigger Splash, Call Me By Your Name, And I think he's going to do a terrific job here because there's some actors in my cast that he's worked with before, some that he hasn't.
Armie Hammer?
But no, not Armie Hammer.
Leading
not
the
Armie.
Film.
No, I haven't picked Armie Hammer.
Whoa, that's a big swing, mate. Armie Hammer in these days.
I haven't picked Armie Hammer. But I am looking for that kind of Italian tone, you know? I want the sort of hyper-realized romanticization of this. I want it to be all confusing.
Right, but fundamentally, it's a heist film, okay? Your characters, your character's having to steal some money from either a bank or someone, okay?
Yeah. It'll be someone in this film. It won't be a bank. I was thinking the other day when I was listening to one of our podcasts that if we ever created merch for you, this podcast related, it could have a picture of your face and then it could say, no, hang on a minute. Because I think that might be your catchphrase. No, hang on a minute.
No, seriously. Like,
look, instinctively, I stop when you say it. Leave me the space to express to you. You always tell me in these episodes, when you ask me a question, I reveal, and then you go, oh, shit, you've nailed it. But before you tell me I've nailed it, you've already told me I haven't three times. I understand I'm making a heist film. I'm making a heist film that has high romance within it, that has a little bit of confusion, a little bit of mystery in it, yeah? But it is possible that stealing the money isn't the most important thing in the film, okay? It's possible that it's a slight inversion of a heist film where it has all the trappings of a heist and yet for some reason there's something about it that doesn't feel very heisty. Anyway, you'll get that a bit more as
it's
I take
like a Jim
you through
Jarmusch
now.
Film.
My list
you
want to
make
people.
A Jim fucking Jarmusch film?
I'm not making a Jim Jarmusch film. I'm making a Luca Guadagnino film, okay? They're two very different things. Very different things. And because it's Luca Guadagnino, my leader, the leader of my pack, my George Clooney, yeah, is Ralph Fiennes.
Yeah.
I'm pausing for applause.
No, I mean, let me just look at my notes.
Sure, just double check that you did have my idea before
me. Yeah, I've got Ralph Fiennes written under Sam Rockwell and above Sienna Miller.
Yeah, it's Ralph Fiennes, but that's fine. Now, listen.
Ralphie, old Ralph Fiennes. He can call himself Ralph as much as he likes. We all know it's Ralph.
Ralph is my leader. He's my kind of expat, British, international leader type. You could believe him in any walk of society. I want him to come with all that viv and vim that he brings to his role in A Bigger Splash. And of course, you know who else we've got to have in the film as the driver? It's Tilda Swinton, Adam. It's only bloody Tilda Swinton.
Yeah, and after all the scorn you poured, you said you were done with her last week.
I didn't pour
you did.
Scorn.
You said, oh, I think I've seen this a million times.
No, what I'd seen a million times was not Tilda Swinton. It was there being a kooky character that you wouldn't expect in a role like that. Now, my Tilda Swinton in my heist movie is completely expected. She's not some kooky, you know, different coloured hair, sort of, you weren't expecting this, were you? No, I'm expecting Tilda, because Tilda works as part of a double act with Ralph Fiennes. She's got the leather gloves because she's the driver. That's all fine. Everyone has to have leather gloves when they're a driver. But she's going to bring a coolness and a collectedness to the team. Now, my three young-ish people. Paul Mescal. He's my demolitions man, yeah? He's going to bring all the sexiness to the film. He's the reason that all of the young people that like to look at Paul Mescal will come to the cinema because he's in the film. And he's, guess what? There's partial nudity with Paul Mescal. He will be topless. My final two, yeah? Safecracker, Dev Patel. Because you got to have Dev Patel in any film that you make because he's the best guy out there. Probably one of the best actors working today.
But tonally, do you not feel like you're all... There's not enough differentiation between someone like Mescal and Dev Patel?
I want to be at sea. I want the audience to be kind of confused about the grey areas
not
between
confusing,
where...
It's just like I'm bored. I'm like, I'm seeing the same tone.
Well, no, the point is because they're not... In my heist film, they're not defined by those roles. It's not like Ocean's 11 where all their personalities and their characters are just like... exemplified versions of the specific trait that makes them useful for that role, right? Like, it's not, that's not all it is. It's not what it's about, yeah? It's real life, man.
It's not real life, though. It's a heist movie.
But it's kind of like, it's supposed to be real life-like, you know? And in that sense, that's why Dev and Paul are both in it. Now, the hacker, young hacker, always wearing a beanie hat. It's Rooney Mara. What do you think about that?
I think you've just recast her from the girl with the spider web thing.
The girl with the spider
web? The girl with the dragon tattoo.
I mean, she is good on computers in that
film.
So
you just want her to do the same thing?
Sort of, but a bit less sort of like vulnerable. And also, she's worked with Dev Patel before in Lion. They were very good.
Yeah, David Lowery, he's worked with Dev and Rooney.
It's possible that my project started with David Lowery, and then halfway through production, it just wasn't really going in the right direction. So there were a few rewrites. We brought in some extra cast members and we changed the director. That's basically what happened.
Because of the producer, aka you, and your ludicrous demands.
Yes. And my two trains of thought while I was on the shoot today, trying to think of the answers to this.
Why don't we get people email us in your heist teams? Movies you forgot at gmail.com. 5 team members, send it in.
Would love to see those. Do you know what I got on the brain now? If you drop Mescal from my lineup, imagine a holiday film where two couples just happen to be on holiday at the same resort. One couple is Ralph Fiennes, Tilda Swinton. The other is Dev Patel and Rooney Mara. That's a fucking film right there, isn't
okay.
it?
It's Bigger Splash, though. You're just pitching Bigger Splash back to yourself.
Yeah, but that's... Well, you know, the thing is, though, that was a great film. Did you see that film?
I thought it was fine. I don't think it's a great film.
I really loved it. I thought it was brilliant.
Great, yeah, you know, it's fine. Do you want to play the box office game?
I'd love to play the box office game.
Okay, yeah, okay. Yeah, let's play the box office game.
That was confusing. Let's play the box office game now for the film 2003, The Italian Job. Now, an estimated, brackets, budget, please, for The Italian Job. Adam Ricciardo.
Well, it's only 20 years old, but... It's one of those Hollywood flicks. It's a big cast.
Sure.
They've shot all over.
Papa Dunn exploded on this one.
It's going to be in the 100 mils. I'm going to say 115 million.
I tell you what, Adam Richman, I think you'll be impressed to hear that the estimated budget for this film was just $60 million.
Well,
yeah. Pretty good, huh? That helicopter scene...
I think I've just massively fucked it up. I think it looks generally, it does look shit.
Right.
But maybe they've.
What are you feeling right now? Tell me.
I equate Hollywood with excess and waste, and that's pretty economical.
Opening weekend, US and Canada. Now, this was released on June the 1st, 2003, 2003. What do you think it took in its opening weekend, Adam?
Well, I think people were gonna turn out to see this, and it's going to have done pretty well. Has it done well? I don't know. Jumper money.
What was Jumper money? I can't remember. Jumper did well, didn't it?
Jumper did surprisingly well. I'm pretty sure I did okay on. I didn't get how many legs it had, but I think they're like 20. This is like 20 million.
Oh, 19,457,944. Now that is on the money. There you go. Well done.
Well, I've guessed for this kind of film around that before,
sure.
So you know that's
hey,
it's just using
Come
memory.
On. No, don't undersell your own achievement here. If you're going to beat yourself up because you got the first one quite badly wrong, then you should equally celebrate your success in this instance.
No, that's not how life works.
Oh,
you beat yourself up for being a fuck up, and then if something good goes right, you go. Oh. And then you move on.
Gross worldwide. What do you think gross worldwide for this film here? 20 million opening weekend, $60 million budget. Gross worldwide.
It's going to probably make around what I thought the budget was, I think.
Interesting, interesting.
I don't think it was very well reviewed.
You don't see it travelling further than that, no?
Not really. It's going to be... It's shit, and it would have been poor... Yeah, people would have said it was shit and weak.
It's got 7 stars on IMDb, the audience rating. Out of 10, I mean.
Oh, really? I thought usually when they 7 out of something, it's like 7 out of like 20 or 7 out of
That
50.
Was for the audience, because when I said 7 stars, that doesn't really make any
10.
Sense, the stars bit.
7 out of
but
10.
But have you ever seen a stars rating system out of 10? Normally stars is out of 5, isn't it?
I think if you said a number 7 in any kind of rating, I think the audience now just think that you think that they're
right.
morons.
Well...
If I was listening, I'd go, yeah, I get it. Fucking hell. Who does this guy
that
think
That is
I
how
am?
You would feel, to be fair.
And I put myself in the shoes of the listener, and you don't. You've got such little respect for them. You have to spell out every single thing. Oh, by the way, this is what that means. Oh, by the way, this is what 7 out of oh, it's 7 out of 10.
Sure,
don't
sure,
worry,
sure.
I don't want you to feel left out. I don't want you to feel left out.
What's
I
nice
mean,
is, let is them feel that we represent two different parts of the audience. Yeah, you represent the people who know, and I represent the people who don't. Anyway, how much money do you think this made gross worldwide?
I'm going to give my answer in dollars.
Yes, please.
Dollars, and I'm going to add them. I'll say dollars, and I'll say a number, and then it'll be million.
Okay.
Okay, just so people, I don't want people to kind of miss out on what
yeah,
I'm
yeah,
saying.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. This is very, I've never found you so easy to listen to before.
I'm going to say this made... 120 million.
Oh, just south of heaven there, my friend. It made $176 million. That's quite good. I mean, that's 3 times the budget. God knows what they would have spent on marketing, though.
Probably 40, I reckon. Spent 60. They're going to send the cast out. They're going to do the world tour.
In which sense, this is a box office success, isn't it?
Yeah, as much as it pains me to see that, it made its money. It didn't make enough money to for sequels or anything, but then maybe no one wanted to come back for a sequel.
Maybe no one did.
It is fucking shit. This film is pathetic. And it is... This is 20 years old and... Like, you would have thought the version of this that's 20 years old would at least have something about it. Like, these kinds of films pop up all the time on Netflix. This is the shit that Netflix makes. Six Underground, Red Notice, like this kind of pack in some stars, plop on a high concept, film everyone on green screen, show a girl's bottom. Have a Lamborghini do a 360, have Ryan Reynolds say something pathetically sarcastic and just do that forever.
Just swap it off. Do you not think, though, that if... I totally get what you mean and I agree with you in terms of the sentiment, but do you think that by today's standards, describing something as like the sort of thing that Netflix would do means like the kind of lowest common denominator for success? Because... aren't they like algorithmically making films that they know people will watch, even if they know they're not excellent films?
I don't believe that necessarily. I think like they're not written by
No, I think the algorithm thing is a reach, right? But like they're certainly data informed, aren't they?
People like what? Yeah, to help you kind of like, oh well, people like action, fun, heist films, and they like The Rock and those films. It informs the package, but it doesn't necessarily mean that then the package has to be a steaming pile of shit. You know, you could still have a great script and put those things together well. They just don't seem to bother to do that or have the wit or skill to.
Sure.
I quite like The Gray Man that it was on Netflix. It had Chris Evans and Ryan Gosling in. Did you see that one?
No.
But anyway, I don't know. I think my point's quite confused. I thought things were better in the old days, and yeah, you watch this shit and it's not.
They were the middle days though, weren't they? They weren't the old days.
Well, no, they're the old days.
They're the old days now, but also for me, they're the middle days, not the new days. They're not the old days, they're the middles.
You can say that all you like, Joe. They're the old days.
20 years ago?
Yes, 20 years ago was the old days. Yeah.
I feel like it's still, though. I feel like we, because we have the benefit of being on the hard edge of a millennia, that I think anything pre-2000 is the old days. And anything post-2000 is not the old days just yet. Not until we go past 2030. That's my feeling.
Yeah, but that's wrong. Like you say, like Seth Green saying things like algorithm and like jokes about Napster. These are the old days.
They certainly feel like older days, for sure. But I'm just, all I'm saying is that's my feeling.
Well, is that, that's your way around getting out of this argument? Like people, like that's what people do because they don't want to get called a cunt.
Are we having an argument?
No.
What are we arguing about? I thought I was listening to you.
No, I was just trying to be funny.
Oh, right.
Like you using that, like that as a way to stop me from...
I see. You right? Can't deny my feelings. You can't deny my experience. If I'm feeling them, it's real. And therefore, yeah. I did think it was funny, though, because when I said that they were my feelings, you said that they're wrong.
Exactly.
It really is a trap, isn't it? It's a kind of... it's a perfect bait and switch.
If you'd said the opposite, if we've already covered this, my instinct would have been to say the opposite.
Yeah, yeah.
Or just ignore you, in fact. It probably would have just been to ignore you.
Sure.
It just rubbed me that things you say rub me the wrong way.
You should tattoo that on your forehead.
Why? Why don't you just?
Because then it would apply to everyone.
No, it's just you.
Specifically me.
Yeah.
No, it's not. Come on.
Write it on a post-it note.
It's not just things I say. It's things that people around you say. Are you saying that things your wife says don't rub you up the wrong way?
No, of course.
Who are your other friends? Do they not rub you up the wrong way?
No, I think no. You're the one who's saying the most egregious things.
Just right now, in this moment, or generally?
You know, do you know what? It's because you're a big safe hug of a conversation, so I can feel
that
feeling.
Push your boundaries with me, I know.
I can feel that feeling. Yeah. I don't feel safe around anyone. To feel so annoyed and wound up by.
Look at you pull it back. What a big sloppy, scratchy embrace that was.
It's
I love
true.
You too.
Yeah, yeah.
Is now the right time to say that I've only been half listening for the last 5 minutes because I'm also trying to look for more films to add to my list?
It's a great time. It's always a great time to get to say that because it's always like an extra, it's a little button on a button, little hat on the hat gag.
Yeah.
Should we play the game where one of us reads out a list of films? This is the bit of the podcast where one of us reads out a list of films to the other one to catch them out on a movie they thought they'd forgot they'd seen in the first place.
They forgot they'd seen in the first place. I know.
This week it's Joe. He's going to try and catch me out.
I'm going to get you, man, even though I forgot to add to my list from last time. So we're going to go slowly with this, okay?
Okay.
Oh, I tell you what I can do. I can always pick from the brilliant list sent to us by Lloyd if I run out of things on my list. So we'll come back to that one if we run out. Feel free to say no to all of these then so we can do a Lloyd instead, Adam. Okay. The film, I really want to do this because I genuinely haven't seen it for maybe 15 years. But I think I know what you're going to say. Blood Diamond.
I've never seen it.
You've never seen Blood Diamond?
I avoided it because he had such a stupid South African accent in it. And I just
that
thought,
is not what I thought you were going to say. I thought you were going to say we'd done too much Leo.
We have done too much Leo, but that's not...
that's not the reason you can't pick it. Okay.
No, I
think you should watch Blood Diamond at some point.
Do I have to?
No, you don't have to.
Do you think it's good?
I genuinely have no memory of it at all. It just stands out for me as this strange film, not just in his back catalogue, but...
You know what? It's a great one to suggest. And I've done a Joe on it by never having seen it.
Incredible. Incredible.
Incredible okay. Scenes.
What about this one? The Lost Boys.
No. I've only seen bits of that, and okay. I would never let that... Like, that kind of cult shit does not... That kind
They're
of cult...
only noodles, Michael.
That kind of cult shit doesn't belong on this podcast.
But we could have gone from Papa Sutherland to Baby Sutherland.
No, we're that not doing those kinds of things, those films. No. It's not. Well, okay. No, that's not for our podcast.
Okay, what about this one? Fear and Loathing in Las Vegas. I fear that you might shoot this down for the same reasons.
There's no way I'm forgetting. That was in my, for a long time, that was in my top 10.
Was it?
Yeah, I loved that film.
What, when you were 15?
Yeah.
That was a joke about the film, but I also liked it when I was 15.
And obviously, I've obviously had my Hunter S. Thompson phase.
Sure.
Just like I had my Charles Bukowski phase.
Sure.
Like I had my Bill Hicks phase. We all did it. We all had the same...
Like, we all had them phases. I agree with you.
I took my wife to go and see that film on our first date.
Really?
That's
Fear and Loathing in Las Vegas?
Yeah, at the Prince Charles.
Wow. And she married you?
I know.
Did she enjoy it? Had she seen it before?
No, I don't think she had. I think she pretended... No, she did. I think she liked it, but I think at the same time she was thinking, this is a weird first date movie.
Yeah, there we go. Okay, what an interesting little back channel. The film Passengers.
Oh, we've chatted Passengers.
Have we? Have we passengered?
Yeah, we had a throwaway. I'm sure we had a Pratt chat, and you ragged on Pratt, and then I lobbed in a reference to this.
That's good because I don't want to watch it.
Oh, I was going to say it's a great shout, and I have basically forgotten.
I mean, it is it's a completely forgotten film.
But so why?
Why did I say it? Because it fits all of the, it ticks all of the boxes, but at the same time, there's something about me which makes me want to say, is going, take it back, go back to a time when you didn't say it.
I want to, thing is, part of me wants to accept Passengers because I think it is
shit. What if I add it back to my list and we pretend this didn't happen, then I bring it up in another one?
Let's do that.
Okay, great. I'll add it back on the list. Phew. Hail Caesar.
No.
Fair enough. Unbreakable with Bruce Willis.
We're not doing M. Night Shyamalan's best movie.
Okay.
The end sequence of that, where Bruce Willis embraces who he is and goes to save the girl from the house.
Sure.
Is phenomenal.
Yeah, it is good.
It's a phenomenal sequence. We're not...
I agree with
you. No one's forgetting they forgot that.
Nobody's forgetting that. Okay. Macbeth with Fassbender. Did I say this last week? I have a feeling I said this last time.
You did. I cut it out.
Oh. And did we agree we were going to do it at some point?
Because you said, I think there's some good chat in it. I really don't want to have to... rewatch Macbeth.
I'll cut that out. Okay, how about this?
It's boring.
Last one on my list for now. And if I don't get you on this, we'll move on to Lloyd's list. The film 7 Pounds with Will Smith.
I've never seen that.
Yeah.
I would never watch that. I think I read what the twist of that is. Isn't it he's given his bits of his body to everyone else?
Basically, he wants to be dead because his wife's dead in an accident, but he wants to not do it selfishly, so he's going to give all of his stuff to other people that need it and such. And so he spends like a year trying to find deserving people who've got various different organ needs. And then he gets it all ready so that he ends his own life in a particular way which will preserve his organs, and he makes a will to give them to all of those people, and that's the film.
And then he explodes.
And then he explodes so none of the organs are useful. Yeah. that's exactly it. That's exactly
fucking
it.
Fucking idiot. Yeah,
big,
Jesus.
Big time. Well,
who the hell does he think he is?
Where does he get off? Smith?
Oh, you get my eyes. You get my balls.
Okay, well, anyway, never mind about that one. Glad you haven't seen it. It's bad. Let's move on to Lloyd's list now. There's a few things on here. I think there's a couple on here that we've mentioned before. Jarhead, we've mentioned here before. I Heart Huckabees has been on our list before. Here's a good one. Here's a good one. Constantine with Keanu Reeves. That's the silence of a man who's been got.
I haven't been got.
Come on, mate.
Thing is, that's been in the news quite a lot lately because...
Has it? Oh, because he wants to revive it. If he could do any one character, it would be him. That's true.
It's a great thing. Constantine is a great shout. I have basically forgotten everything that's in it.
Sure.
I just want to hear more films.
Okay. If we can't get you on some of the others on Lloyd's List, we'll come back to Constantine.
Okay. Yeah, okay.
I like this one. This one's quite good. Vanilla Sky with Tom Cruise. We haven't done Cruise yet, Adam.
No, you're not going to do Cruise on Vanilla Sky, though.
Why not? This is a wild Cruise shout.
No, it's not forgettable, though. I saw it in the cinema, and I rewatched it last year.
It gets worse, doesn't it, though? I used to really enjoy this film, and the most recent time I watched it, maybe a couple of years ago, I thought, oh, God, what was I like?
I think it's one of those films where you yo-yo around. I was livid by how it ended when I saw it in the cinema when I was a young man. And then rewatching it, I came to appreciate the kind of wild swings it takes. It's quite dark. It goes quite silly. Its tone goes all over the place. It's got some great acting in it. It probably would have made a good chat.
It's a shame you said no.
I can get you on Vanilla Sky. You're not getting me on it, though.
I think you should get me on Vanilla Sky at some point because it's...
I'm happy to. No, I'm just saying there's no way you're getting me on it. Yeah, I've got too much integrity. I've got too much integrity, mate.
That's what I'm saying to you, is that if you don't
want
me to get you...
The audience won't believe it.
Okay. Sure.
I've written it down. I'm going to get you on it.
Yeah,
I'm happy to get you on it.
Okay, here we go. The film Funny People.
Oh, no.
Okay, no, fine, fair enough. What about this one? Charlie Wilson's War. Isn't that Tom Hanks?
It is. It's got Philip Seymour Hoffman in as well. Never watched it, annoyingly.
Yeah. It's such a bad name for a film. Every time I see it appear on a streaming service, I think that is a terribly named film. Okay, what about The Fifth Element?
No, do you know what? Let's go back and... What was the one that we said we'd do? A Constantine. Let's do Constantine.
We haven't done Keanu yet, have we?
We haven't done Keanu.
I'm happy to get on Keanu. I genuinely haven't watched that for 20 years, so I think that could be quite fun.
Yeah, I saw it once when it came out. I was okay. never rewatched that film.
Sure. And you're right. You know, ever since Keanu said... Hey, I'd like to revive John Constantine. People have been thinking about it, you know? It's there. It's in the zeitgeist. So it's a perfect time for us to strike.
It's another example of people willing films into existence. You know, Will Smith has willed I Am Legend 2 into existence.
I Am Legend 2?
Yeah.
Is that happening?
It's happening. And this is the most bizarre thing ever because he said... On the DVD, there's an alternate ending. The people in the know, the film nerds in the know, the chat all start to bubble up that, you know what, the alternate ending for I Am Legend is actually really good and is loads better than the film. And so that's what it all was for ages.
Right.
And now Will Smith, because in the cinematic version, the one that everyone's seen... Will
he
Smith,
dies.
He dies. He kills himself. He does the Jesus thing.
He dies as a hero.
He dies
also
as
a martyr and as a sacrificial death.
It's exactly. The kind of the textbook Hollywood hero ending.
The only way for that film to end.
It's not. The DVD ending is far superior.
What is the DVD ending?
Don't ask me that, mate. I've got.
Oh, but you just said it was far superior.
No, I know it is because I've seen it. I made that decision when I saw it. I can't remember specifically what it. Okay, yeah, I now remember what it is. The DVD ending of it is, and it links to what happens in the book.
Right,
the reason
right.
It's called I Am Legend. You think that the monsters are the vampires, and at the end of the book. You realise that I am the legend, the monster, is the last surviving man who's been going out killing all the vampires. They're all like,
sure.
Why is this guy coming fucking in our grill all the time?
What's this guy's problem?
Exactly.
What's he doing out in the sun?
In the film, in the big Willy style Will film, he bags and tags a female vampire, female zombie. Did I say they were zombies or vampires?
You said vampires.
Yeah, vampires. Good.
Yeah, I said zombies.
Yeah, you said zombies. So, and it's very strongly alluded to that she's the girlfriend of the head vampire. Oh. So the alternate version of the film is the kind of mad leader vampire guy finally getting into Will's house, and you think he's going to kill him, but he's just come for his girlfriend.
Right.
And he picks her up and he's like roaring in Will's face. And he basically sort of says, oh, don't do that again.
Right.
And leaves.
That's the alternate ending.
And maybe some other gubbins. But it's not this big explosion and it's not Big Willy killing himself. So anyway, the sequel is going to use the deleted ending.
He says, we're going with the mythology of the DVD version where my character lives, and I can't tell you anymore, he explained.
That's just outrageous. Look, mate, you fucked it. You and your Hollywood mates, when you made this film, you fucked it. You signed off on the shit ending, the obvious ending, and now you're coming back for scraps.
Sure.
You didn't do that ending.
Well, he's coming back with Michael B. Jordan, too. He says, I have a call with Michael B. Jordan tomorrow. We're really close. I'm probably giving up two information. The script just came in.
The ego. He could just have Michael B. Jordan be in the film because the son survives, or the kid.
Sure.
The kid who's got the... And so Smith wouldn't have to be in it, but his ego is so...
I feel like people would still see that as well. If anything, isn't Will Smith in a space right now where... people might be unlikely to see the film that he's in because he's in a kind of odd place, isn't he?
No, he needs this.
He needs it to get back.
And they would go and see it because it's I Am Legend 2 and because it's stayed around in the canon for so long. And so he's so needy. He's going to base the sequel on the alternate... He's going to use the alternate DVD version film that only kind of like film nerds chat about.
Yeah.
Okay, so that was the show. That was where we were chatting about the remake of The Italian Job.
Yep, yep, yep.
All right, we'll see you next time. Say bye,
Joe. See ya. Oh. Bye. Oh.